Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live session, The Future of Coaching. Today, we are joined by Lucy Mullins from Ride the Wave Coaching. So hello to you, Lucy. For those of you who are new to the channel, my name is Simon Batchelor. I'm one of the co-founders of Better, Bolder, Braver. And I am also joined by the other co-founder, Francis, who should be up there. So, yeah, do you want to introduce yourself, Francis?
Thanks, Simon. Hi, everyone. I'm Francis Khalasji. I'm the other co-founder of the Better, Bolder, Braver community for coaches. And we're thrilled to have Lucy here. Lucy is our second guest this year in the series that we have decided we're going to be working on most intently in our podcast this year, which is The Future of Coaching. And we heard from Robbie Swale last time. And this time we're pleased to have one of our favourite coaching training providers here with us to talk about the future of coaching from Ride the Wave's perspective. So I'm going to let Lucy introduce herself, what Ride the Wave is, and to tell us all about the future of coaching as the Ride the Wave team see it. Thank you, Lucy.
Simon, lovely to be back seeing you and lovely to be feeling better, because I think last time we met I had COVID and I refused to go on screen because I was in my pajamas. I thought I was on a podcast, so I remembered that I'm not on a podcast and that people can see me today. So wonderful to be here. I am one of the co-founders along with Sonia Shellard of Ride the Wave Professional Coach Training, and we develop coaches and want-to-be coaches to enhance their coaching skill sets and to accredit as professional coaches. We are delighted to work alongside you at Better, Bolder, Braver to then help people be on that journey and tell the world about their brilliant coaching skills and help people in the world make waves. That's what we talk about. How can we use coaching, professional coaching, to make waves in the world, to help change people's lives for the better? So that's a little bit about what we do at Ride the Wave.
Thank you. When I said to you, will you talk to us about the future of coaching? What came to mind?
I was excited to talk about the future of coaching. So I read this brilliant book, which actually handily I found on my coloured bookshelf behind me 3 years ago when it first came out. It's called The Future of Coaching by my coaching guru, Hetty Eindig, who is the editor of the Association for Coaching magazine. And I was lucky enough to be in a book group with her just as she was publishing this book. So I immediately bought it and read it. And I've been on subsequent courses with her. She really is a guru of all things coaching. So I kind of pulled that out when you asked me and had a look through. And it's still, you know, it's written 3 years ago and it's still hugely relevant. And I think actually a lot of inspiration I took from that, I bring into what we do at Ride the Wave. So it wasn't a hard step for me to think, I don't know about the future of coaching. I think the values that Sonia and I have put into Ride the Wave, so community, social impact, laughter, and celebrating diversity, are four core values which go through everything we do. For me, they are the future of coaching. And I don't think there's maybe been enough of some of coaching to date. And we've talked quite a lot about this, Francis and Simon, but this idea of coaching being very much a sort of privileged thing that happens to leaders of big companies. And we have certainly seen that in trying to recruit people to Ride the Wave. Younger people say, oh, no, I can't be a coach because you have to be old and important and grown up to be a coach. And it's not true. And we feel very passionately about that, because that diversity of perspective and experience is really important, and to make coaching more accessible to more people so that it can have a positive impact on people's lives. So when you said the future of coaching, I thought, great, I feel like we're already doing that and we're doing it slightly differently. People are quite surprised sometimes by the diversity of coaches we have in our network or the type of people that train with us. We've had a bishop, we've had artists, personal trainers. We've had the leader of the gospel choir who just won BBC Gospel Choir of the Year train with us, and he uses it with his congregation up in Leicestershire. So we do really have a hugely diverse range of people who come and use coaching to make a positive impact in the world in different ways.
Simon, how does that land with you? How does it make you feel hearing that?
Yeah, I think it's really inspiring, because I think there is a preconception. I totally resonate with your what you were saying about the preconceptions people have about you have to be old or experienced or wise in your years to be a coach. And I think there is a certain level of that kind of preconception in the eyes of people who want to become a coach, but also the people looking for a coach. So I've been speaking to quite a few people about looking for a coach, or, you know, what do you look for when you look for a coach? Just out of interest, because I'm always curious. Often my go-to question when I'm explaining what we do, I say, oh, we work with coaches. And I say, just out of interest, what would you look for if you were looking for a coach? Just to hear what they say, because it gets them talking about coaching without them really knowing I'm getting them talking about coaching, but secret's out of the bag now. So, but the interesting fact there is a lot of people say, oh, well, I'd want someone who's done it before. And then I'm sort of like, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. And I think there is this preconception that in order for someone to be able to coach, they need to have done it or have the lived experience of that. So I think it's important, the work you're doing, in saying, actually, that's not true. You don't necessarily need that to be a factor when you're looking for a coach, or when you are deciding whether you are the person who's right or should be able to train to be a coach. So yeah, that is really interesting.
It's sometimes, I know, and I think sometimes it is relevant, but I think there's an element of our psychology of sticking with people we know. So sometimes, you know, if somebody comes to me and says they're looking for a coach, they'll say, oh yes, I'd like a middle-aged woman that's got, you know, a mother. And that, guess what? They're a middle-aged woman who's a mother. And I, yes, sometimes you want that, because I think sometimes people forget that you can have empathy and compassion, actually, which is more important than empathy. You have that compassion when you don't have that lived experience, and actually you might offer a broader perspective. But we have that kind of like for like of, oh, I need someone who's also been the CEO of a building company. Well, do you? Or might it be really that's a mentor in my view, you know, have someone that's walked that path and actually will provide that advice. But actually, and I really see this a lot on Ride the Wave with all our coaches in training, they're very scared at first to coach people outside of their industry or even their age bracket. And then when they do, they realize how much more impact they can often have, because the advice monster, as we call it, that need to go, oh, I've done that. Mm. I know what I did. Let me tell you. They don't have any advice. I don't know. So I've noticed this in my own coaching recently. I've gone back to doing quite a lot of coaching one-to-one, which I haven't done for a long time. And I've really enjoyed picking up a broader portfolio. And I have noticed that I coach dads really well. I'm really good at coaching dads. I don't have children. I'm a very proud auntie. I love my single life. I've never wanted to have a family of my own. But actually, a real sweet spot for me is coaching dads. And I think there's a sort of safety there in the fact that I almost don't have any idea what it's like to be a parent. And I'm very, very upfront about that. Mm. And it's never explicitly why people come to me. But after a few sessions in and they've got to know me, and I say, well, do you have children? And I say, no. And then they say, can I just talk to you about my kids? And actually, at first, I remember that panic and I took it to supervision. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I thought, no, Lucy, don't be ridiculous. This is exactly what I tell all my coaches in training. Coach well outside of your comfort zone. Which, you know, I often coach in industries I know nothing about. But I think the thing with children and families, it feels, you know, it's such an important thing for people. But that's been really interesting for me. So just as an example of how you bring broader perspective and diversity of thought.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And a very good coach I worked with a number of years ago, a business coach, we specifically chose him because he had lots of experience in running businesses, but he had no kind of experience in running a digital or a web business. All his experience was like treading the floor, you know, like running, you know, going to offices, doing the sale. You know, I used to work for UPS, selling UPS services. I used to sell satellites and like phone systems and stuff like this. And it was just, and he'd also run a pub. I mean, it's just all his different experience. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Just all of these things are just like, we need to check this and have you, you know, but he could ask the questions that if you were trying to advise, as it were, as you said, mentor, like, well, last time I did it like this. You're giving advice, aren't you? Whereas if you don't have that, you're from the outside in, you just, why do you do it like that? I don't know. And I guess that's the question, isn't it? It's really interesting. So in terms of the youthful perspective, shall we say, the opposite of the perception that some people might have that you need to be wise in your years, how do you find that sort of comes about when you're either approaching new coaches or trying to inspire younger people to become coaches? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's something we're still working on, to be honest. Actually, if anyone's listening and you're under 30 and you want to be a coach, come and visit Ride the Wave. And we offer scholarships. I think that's really important, because in your 20s, you know, you're often paying off some university debt if you've been to university, or you're building your career, so you're not at the top of your earning potential. You might be thinking about paying for a wedding, having a family, or buying a home, which are all things I think about in my life at Stepladder, because we help people save. When I'm not doing Ride the Wave, I'm co-founder of a business that helps people save money for important life events. So I know that in your 20s, like, your major goal is probably not putting quite a few £1,000s into a professional development program to become a coach. So one thing we do is we do offer partial scholarships to Ride the Wave to help younger people and people from diverse communities to access coach training. And I think that's really important. We offer our seasonal refresh workshops, which I know that you have joined us on. Sometimes we run the spring, summer, autumn and winter for free at lunchtime, 45 minutes. And again, that's just to allow people to come along without any need to pay and just get a little taste of some professional coaching tools. And not everybody needs to become a professionally accredited coach. Some people just need a few little tools and a little bit of an understanding of a coaching mindset to start making a positive impact. So there is definitely, to go back to your question about getting the young people in, there's that barrier. Then there's also the confidence barrier and the imposter syndrome. And luckily, Sonia and I are experienced coaches, so we're quite good at helping people overcome that. But there is a little bit of work to do, particularly after that first module. We'll sometimes get a phone call from someone saying, oh, everyone's so grown up, or everyone's got so much experience, or what have I got to add? But then you also get the flip side of people that have been out of education for longer and they're coming back. And yes, they seem to be very experienced, but actually they're a bit scared about going back and doing a training program again, because it's a long time since they've had to learn anything. So it's just shifting that perspective. And I think once we get the younger coaches into coaching situations and they realize, oh my goodness, I coached the CEO of a big business or a partner at Deloitte, and they took something from that, and I can see in their eyes that they moved their thinking forward, they're delighted. And then you're over the confidence hurdle and off they go. And it's delightful to see them sort of surf on and be very successful.
What I really like about the Wave community, as far as I can see it, and from our conversations, Lucy, is that you do also have some incredibly sort of high-flying individuals who fly in and do some amazing training with you, and then are able to kind of quite quickly establish a business because they have an amazing network. And what I like is, you know, when I think about diversity, it's as much like fast-track access to people who are privileged, in order that you learn the vocabulary and you can actually see and start to visualize how that might be something that you're not that far away from, which is the nature of the guide and the hero, which Simon and I talk about a lot. So, you know, in a community, to be able to bring people, and in fact, we've got our first, I think, MBE in the Better, Bolder, Braver community. And then we've got quite a range of people ourselves. And it's lovely because people, you know, are brought together and you think, God, these people, you wouldn't normally assume that they would be having a chat together on the tube or something. And yet here they are in a Zoom chat, you know, connecting, and actually there's not a lot of space in between them. So I think the other thing you do, as well as champion access, and just to reiterate, if anyone is listening in, I'm already, my brain is going about the you know, ways in which I might be able to support your recruiting of people, young people. You're also making sure to provide, and you're able to provide, this coaching training service for quite a wide range of people, which is no mean feat, because you're meeting every single one of them where they are. And, you know, you're very seasoned in this. You've been doing it for a long time. You've worked out a curriculum, a method, and a way of holding space that seems to make everybody feel very included. And you've got this wonderful community. And you've talked about the seasonal refresh workshops that you offer, which are really accessible because they're free. Tell us a little bit about the supervision that you provide as well for people once they've qualified, so that they can continue with the values that you're instilling.
Absolutely. So for anyone listening that doesn't know, professional coaches need to be in ongoing supervision. Initially, that's 1 hour of supervision for every 15 hours of coaching. And then as you get more experience, you can have 1 hour of supervision for kind of 20 or 30 hours of coaching. So on the program, we offer supervision in every module. So you're always logging supervision. But coaches get their coaching hours at different rates. Some people are doing 20 hours coaching a week. Other people might log 1 hour coaching a week. So consequently, they need different amounts of supervision. So we set up a Ride the Wave community group supervision, different times of day, different days of the week. And that allows people to just come and book in. So anyone that's been through Ride the Wave is part of the community for life, and they can come in and do our group supervision. We work with a brilliant colleague called Michael. We call him our accreditation lifeguard, and he's also our supervisor. We can't help but play around with the surfing metaphors, because sometimes we'll talk about accreditation later, but you feel like you're drowning in the paperwork. So that's how we came up with accreditation lifeguard. But he's also an absolutely brilliant supervisor. And he has a very different style to Sonia and I. Sonia and I have very different styles, and Michael has a different style again. And so our surfers get supervision with Sonia and myself during the program, and we're always available for kind of ongoing queries and questions. But the official group supervision is delivered by somebody else, because again, we want that diversity of another different style of coaching. So our coaches can drop in and access that. And one thing that we have done is open that up to people. We had some questions from people saying, look, I've already got my coach accreditation. I've recently done another top-up training, but I really like the Ride the Wave community and vibe. What can I join? So we've actually opened up the group supervision so people can come and take part in that. And it's really lovely, because we have up to 8 people in a group supervision. And once again, you're sitting next to somebody that might have an OBE, or somebody that's, I've got Samuel on my mind, because he just won this BBC Gospel Choir of the Year. And if you haven't seen it, it is beyond joyful. He's on LinkedIn and it's glorious. But, you know, that for me was just something that was so different, to have somebody that is running a whole church community alongside, you know, the kind of partners from the Big Four, alongside bankers, artists, personal trainers, HR professionals. It's such a lovely, diverse group. And that carries on in the supervision. So you turn up, and our surfers love it, because sometimes they see one of their old buddies from their wave that they were in and they know quite well. And sometimes they meet a whole bunch of new people who've joined from other waves, or from even outside the really close Ride the Wave community. So we keep the diversity up in there, which again really adds to the diversity of thinking and the input into supervision to keep your coaches really fresh.
Actually, yeah, thank you also for sort of volunteering to dive into the admin fun that is accreditation, which I'd like to pick up on, if that's all right, because one of the ways in which we work really well together is that, well, you can talk about continued professional development and how what you do segues nicely into the coach's marketing journey, perhaps by giving people an overview who might not be familiar with what accreditation actually means and what it entails. And by all means, talk about the money, because I think that's something that people want to know about, right?
Mm. So coaching is not a regulated profession. And so I get this question a lot, and I've made a few videos on this. So I'll give you the kind of short version of this. Is you can do an accredited coach training program to become a qualified coach. And so Ride the Wave, for example, is an ACCT, an accredited certificate in coach training. And there are lots of coach training programs out there that have this accreditation from either the ICF, the AC, or the EMCC, which are the professional bodies for coaching. Once you do a qualification like that, you're a qualified coach and you've done an accredited training program, but you're not accredited. So once you've got your certificate, that's almost the first stage of getting accredited. And then there's about 7 or 8 other things you need to do and submit as part of a portfolio alongside coaching hours and some reflective assignments. And I'm talking here specifically about the Association for Coaching, because that's who we work with. But I know the ICF and the EMCC have similar but slightly different pathways. You submit your portfolio and then you can become accredited. So you can be qualified and not accredited, but you can't be accredited without being qualified and doing a coach training program. So it's actually a brilliant process. And I can say that because I've just been through reaccreditation for the second or third time, and I was kind of dreading it. And then actually when I sat down and did it, I was like, wow, this is really well designed. It's amazing professional development to sit down and reflect and pull together your case study and record a session, all of the things you have to do. So we provide this accreditation support for people in the community, because what I found when I did my coach training and speaking to other coaches is you get your qualification, you're really excited, but you very quickly lose momentum with getting accredited. And so you sort of need someone to hold you to account, to do all of that paperwork and pull everything together. And also it can be a bit scary to have to, you know, submit these things to be reviewed. So we're sort of on your side to cheerlead you through getting that accreditation.
And then how do you maintain that? How do you maintain the accreditation year to year?
So to maintain the accreditation, you need to keep up. And this is your link. Sorry, Annie, you asked me two questions in one. I can only deal with one question at a time. This is about the CPD. So there is a need, whether you accredit or not, let's face it, in a profession like coaching, and any professions, you want to keep developing. And so it's important to whatever your thing is with learning. Is it reading? Is it listening to podcasts? Is it going on courses? What is it that is going to float your boat? And the thing I love about the Association for Coaching is they're very flexible on their definition of CPD. So some of my CPD was actually delivering Ride the Wave. So I do lots of reading, and I do lots of extra coach, little one-day coach training programs where I take part as a delegate. But you're also allowed to count time that you are delivering webinars and training. And I think that's a really nice flexible approach to CPD. And then I was delighted to find out when talking to you the other day, Frances, that your coach's marketing journey also counts as CPD. That's really, I think that's a really insightful thing for the Association for Coaching to do, because one of the main things I see in supervision for coaches who've just qualified, the challenges they bring are less about their coachee and things that are coming up in the session, and much more about how do I get paying clients? How do I have the confidence to charge? How do I put my rates up from £20 nominal fee to a proper coaching rate? And how do I market myself? And that's how we became friends and started working together. Cause I was like, well, I can help you with all your coaching, but actually this is more of a marketing. This is a specific marketing challenge, and you need to speak to some experts on that. And so that's what I love with how you've designed Better, Bolder, Braver, is to really coach people through that journey, because it is about confidence and it is about knowing yourself. And whilst we start to talk about some of those things on the program, there's only a certain amount of stuff you can fit into a coach training program. And Sonia and I have already had to cut out so much that we want to give people. So we always say, we're going to give you a buffet of coaching tools and theories and science. And some of you will think, yeah, that's enough, 10 minutes on that. Others of you will want a lot more. So we'll always give you references and say there are other great people out there who can do a big dive on transpersonal coaching or Gestalt or NLP. So we're not ever saying we're going to give you the deep dive on anything, but we're going to give you the buffet of things to just pique your interest so you know about them and then you can deep dive. And I think it's kind of the same with that marketing journey is, you know, there's a few things that we can support people with, but really we want to hand them over to you and say, you know, our surfers are in a great community for their coaching development and for their supervision and for their accreditation. We'd love them to be in another great community to support them with that marketing journey that you take them on.
Thank you. I think, you know, we really appreciate that. We're probably much more aligned in our philosophies than we realized when we first, became close as organizations. And, you know, actually parenting is coming up for me, the concept of how you decide to raise children. And the image I had when you were talking about how open-minded the AC is about continued professional development was, I was a brownie a long, long, long time ago, but one could get badges for the most insane range of random things, right? Like from cake baking to knot tying to floor sweeping to singing to, you know what I mean, you name it and you could get a badge. I don't think I got many, by the way, and there were girls there who were dripping in badges. they'd done all the things, but it was really nice because it kind of supported people in not only achievement but deciding what they wanted to actually do to feel like they'd achieve something. And there's something about that choice there and agency which it feels like you're fostering when you offer your buffet, as you say. It's sort of doing that thing of boundary setting and, you know, guiding to some degree without being prescriptive. And, you know, the sort of lesson underneath all of that is you need to choose for yourself, and giving people a sense of at every stage of this journey, you're making choices. You know, I think that continues into the work that we do. In fact, funny enough, and I'm so pleased you're saying what you're saying this morning, because we're at the client stage of the coach's marketing journey. And this morning, Simon and I were holding a session about how you choose your ideal client. And it just feels like there's quite a lot in here that kind of connects. Wouldn't you say, Simon? Maybe you can make the link a bit more succinctly than I can, than I am, between what we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, I think it's that thing of when you're clear about who you want to work with, then when you come to do your marketing, it's easier to talk to them, and you can do so from a sort of position of empathy. But I think understanding the work you do and the impact that has, and the power that working with someone can have, or in helping them make the change they seek to make, then once you understand that, it can become a lot clearer as to who it is you want to work with. And I think that makes marketing a lot easier and a lot less salesy and a lot less icky, because you're not trying to convince everybody that they need coaching. You're just saying, you know, if this sounds like you, then maybe we should have a chat, because I talk to people who this is resonating with all the time, you know. And I think it makes it easier for people to recommend people to you. It makes referrals a lot nicer and less sort of shoehorning it into a conversation, you know. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of elements to having clarity around the work that you do, and therefore who it can work the best for.
Your marketing strategy, Lucy, as far as I understand it, is very much based on how many referrals you get, right, from people who recommend the training. But what, you know, just following on from Simon's point, how has your understanding of your own needs, limits, boundaries, values around diversity, etc., informed how kind of proactive you and Sonia are, or how kind of mindful you are about who you take on and sort of who you want to create conversations with?
So the great thing about, I'd love to say we planned this in advance, but it's sort of evolved. Maybe I should give Sonia and myself a bit more credit for maybe it's our experience we pulled into this, but how it's evolved is in the brand we've developed. And I have to give a huge shout out to Bella Goss, who did all of our branding and our visual identity. She's the most brilliant graphic designer. And we naturally seem to attract people for whom the four values that I mentioned at the start, celebrating diversity, social impact, community, and laughter, really resonate. And alongside with that sort of visual brand of something quite fresh, something quite new, it looks quite different. It's quite playful, you know, and our accreditation lifeguard, and you're going to be a surfer, you're not going to be a coach, you're going to be a surfer, and you're going to ride the waves of life, playing into that metaphor. Sonia and I are both very high energy and make no apology for having fun while we do what we do. We don't try to be serious. We know that we know our stuff, but we don't need to kind of go very academic on people. So there are a few people I've spoken to who, you know, it's clearly not going to be a fit, and it's actually great. It's so lovely. And it's no point trying to convince somebody that starts asking for all the references from the latest research papers. And like, yes, we can get them, but that's not what this program's about. You're not writing essays on this program. Coaching is a contact sport. And if you want to be an academic in coaching, brilliant. There are lots of places you can go and get that experience. That is absolutely not what Ride the Wave is about. Ride the Wave is about empowering people to make a difference in the world with a professional coaching toolkit. And alongside that, through our pro bono and social impact work, it's allowing anybody to come in to the Beach Hut through our seasonal refresh and the other pro bono coaching we do, and realize what coaching can do for them, and stop coaching being such a sort of an academic thing or an executive thing. You know, we purposely don't call it executive coaching. Many, many people that come through our program are, but we call it professional coaching, because it's executive coaching sounds like, oh, that's not me. I'm not an executive. That sounds scary. So we have people that are personal coaches or life coaches. We have people that are business coaches, all sorts of different coaches. But I think we just really want to move away from that. Oh, this isn't for me. I feel very strongly about the fact that, you know, if you wake up and you've got toothache, you call a dentist, or like me this morning, I've got a bad shoulder, so I went to the physio. People know to do that. If you wake up and you've got brain fog, or, you know, for the last few weeks, you've not really had clarity, or you're feeling a little bit lost, it's quite a big step for someone to then go to the doctor. You know, you've got to be feeling pretty rubbish to call the doctor and then go and maybe get some counselling or support like that. But most people don't know there's something called a coach. I'm not wild about the name coach or coaching. I don't think it really helps our profession grow and allow people to really experience the benefit of it. But there is a professional out there that can help you clarify your thinking, move forward, overcome a challenge without the kind of barrier that I think there still is very much in this country, certainly compared to a lot of my friends in America, for going and getting a counsellor or a therapist. And actually, often that's not what you need. If you've got that sort of challenge that isn't profoundly causing you kind of emotional turmoil, but is making you feel a bit stuck. And like, people just don't know outside of this world of coaching that, hey, there's someone you can go to. And so I think at Ride the Wave, we want to make that so much more accessible. The ICF global study that I think I shared with you last time we met said that the increase of knowledge about coaching is going up. So it's about 75% in the UK of a random sample said they knew about coaching, but only 30% had accessed coaching. And that was either as a coach or a coachee. So there's a huge difference between those that know about it and would like to get it. And I actually looked at the survey this morning knowing I was coming on here. And the two big barriers were I'm too old or too young for coaching, and cost. And so there are two of the things we're trying to smash at Ride the Wave by saying, well, come on in. You can come to some of our sessions for free. Do you want a pro bono coach? Well, if you can't afford coaching, guess what? We have an amazing hundreds of surfers who are working towards their accreditation. They're qualified coaches. They're not yet accredited because they're working towards that paperwork. They will happily offer either very discounted or pro bono coaching to people. So we offer that pro bono coaching service. And it's a way for someone to get a taste of it and realize, oh, there is this whole world out there where I can get support and help that people don't know about. So I want it to, I want coaching to become something like, you know, oh, I've got a toothache, I go to the dentist, you know, I've got a challenge, well, I'm going to call a coach. And it's not something that's seen to be so exclusive.
There's so much. I hope people will listen back to this if they're listening. Those listening now, please listen back. So much of what Lucy just said is really gold dust. And, we you're a very busy person, so we don't have you for that much longer today. But I want to make sure that we just invite you to say a few words about two things. One is the parallel between us, which is from our side to tackle the toxic marketing bullshit, and from your side to tackle the toxic coaching world bullshit, which will speak to how I think you want to be an agent of change in the world of, as you've said, diversifying the coaching industry, but not just in terms of who can become a coach, but as you've just said, just sort of helping people understand that coaching is a thing that they could draw on, you know, this kind of education piece, this big system education piece that I think you rightfully should see yourself and Sonia as part of. So any thoughts on that? And then I just wanted to say the other thing that's a commonality is that Lucy and I have been able to actually be human beings with each other. And a lot of the stuff we've talked about, and you mentioned it in terms of the word executive and this kind of shiny shit that people feel they have to maintain. And, you know, people ask us questions that sit in that box around authenticity, vulnerability, you know, and sort of how does that work in marketing? How can I be myself? How can I not freak out, burnout, and like experience loads of trauma when I'm doing marketing about something that feels really sensitive? It all sits within the containment and understand self-awareness box. Lucy and I have discovered that we both love Barry's Bootcamp. Shout out. Now, like, we've sat in our underwear together in the changing room, you know, and still we can do business together because we've been able to be human beings. And that's cool. I'm happy about that. And I think that's a commonality between, not that you'll sit in your underwear with us necessarily, but that you'll feel you can be who you are. And that's real. It's not just words. So I just wanted to
almost die. I did almost die. And Simon made a very wise choice not to join us because Francis is an absolute machine on the treadmill. And it was, yes, I'm just happy to be here, to be honest, after our experience at Barry's. But it was very joyful.
So last words on the toxic, I don't want you to be naming and shaming. That's not the invitation, but it's more like, how are you looking to address what you think is, like, if you weren't here, what might happen in the future of coaching? If Ride the Wave was not there, or people like Ride the Wave were not there, what would be your like worst fear about how coaching might evolve that you're trying to tackle?
Oh, no, I never name and shame, and there isn't anyone to name and shame. It's more just exactly that, just to have something a little bit different for people that want to access coaching resources. So this is not just people that want to have coaching, but also people that want to use coaching skills, but don't want to do a professional coach training program. So Sonia's always had this lovely phrase about there are so many resources in the world, they're just not equally shared out. And so at Ride the Wave, that's why we give away, like in a 45-minute session, we'll give away three of our coaching tools, and many of them are available on the website, and we'll share them on social media, because why not? Like, why not share? If we've got something that might help somebody, why not share it? If there's a manager in a role struggling away and thinking, oh gosh, you know, I'm never going to get funded to do coach training, but here's a couple of tools, or I learned something at that 45-minute seasonal refresh with Ride the Wave, and that helps them become a better manager and leader, and then motivates their team. And then why wouldn't we do that? So I hope that we're democratizing the space a little bit, and we're injecting a little bit of fun and playfulness through many of the new models that we're creating, because there are some brilliant models out there, and I just think there's space for lots of other models, like our surf model and our waves model and the 5-minute flush out, which are beginning to be used quite widely. And there's no need to kind of pay for those or access it. We're not putting them behind a paywall. It's just, let's just put them out there and share it, and good things will happen. And I think, to loop back to your comment about the marketing, that's really what's happened, is people get wind of us through, oh, somebody used your 5-minute flash out, and then I looked you up, and we were a bit naive at the beginning. We didn't even have our URL on the bottom. So then we were like, oh, we'll put our URL on, and then when people find our tools, they're like, oh. So yes, it does help with our marketing. That's absolutely not why we did it. We weren't that smart. But then it just shows that when you do something good or for the right reason, or it is authentically you, and that whole idea of sharing and giving back is authentically Sonia and I, then good things happen. And so people say, oh, so for example, somebody just signed up for the program because they received some pro bono coaching through a charity they were working for. They heard about Ride the Wave, and then they were like, oh, I might come and train as a coach. So ended up being recruitment. We absolutely weren't offering that because of that. And then somebody will say, oh, you know, my husband, my partner, my daughter got some pro bono coaching through you guys. Can I learn more? And so that was absolutely authentic to us. And we both still do coach in the corporate world, but we decided we wanted to kind of broaden that out and experience working with other people. And then look what happens when you are authentic. You really attract, exactly as you were saying, you just attract the right people when you are being authentic. And, you know, we're definitely not everybody's cup of tea, and that's good.
There's so much we can talk to you about. You know, maybe the next episode with you, Lucy, is about pricing for corporate work in a way that makes you feel confident about diversifying your coaching portfolio, so that you can offer things to people who may not be in the same affordability bracket, because I think that could really support a lot of our listeners as well. I'll leave Simon to round up today, but thank you so much. It's been really amazing having you on again, and just lots of love to you, Sonia, and the Ride the Wave crew. And, you know, we look forward to seeing the any of your graduates that feel they need support. Thank you.
Thank you, Frances.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lucy. It's been really great to talk to you, and I'm sure we can carry on the conversation on another session soon. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening and watching. Do join us next time for The Future of Coaching with Helen Isaac. There we go. I'll get that through. So, yes, Helen Isaac will be joining us next time. So do join us then. Thanks very much, everybody. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.